The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and then the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord. I invite you all to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. An earthquake, also known as a quake, tremor, or temblor, is the shaking of the surface of the earth, resulting from the sudden release of energy in the earth's lithosphere that creates seismic waves. Earthquakes can range in size from those that are so weak that they cannot be felt, to those violent enough to toss people around and destroy whole cities. St. Matthew can say it has had a couple of earthquakes in the last year. With the departure of Pastor Wengert a year ago, St. Matthew experienced a painful death of a loving pastoral parishioner relationship of over 14 years. One could say St. Matthew was shaken, like from a violent earthquake. The grief is painful and difficult, and sometimes comes and goes and surprises us when it appears again or how it shows up. I was blessed to be called to serve as your interim pastor this past year, knowing I would not be available for a full-time or full-time settled call, and yet you still received me and my family in this wilderness time to walk with you and shepherd you and help you in this transition period. For that, I give God and you thanks. A year later, I give thanks to God for you and all the saints, for those who were able to receive me, and continue to pray for those for whom the grief was too difficult to bear. It is hard to welcome someone new when you are grieving an old relationship. I get that. Yet in the midst of grief, through our Lord and Savior, you found strength and hope in your baptism, to which you were joined to Jesus Christ, who claims you as God's beloved forgiven children, always forgiving and helping you when you turn to him, and helping you live anew to love more like Jesus, loving your neighbor as yourself. I give God thanks for all the ways in which you all have served, given your time, talents, gifts, and voice to love and serve your neighbor and work for God's justice and peace in the world. To God be the glory. A year later, St. Matthew is experiencing another earthquake, not quite so large as the last, with council's decision to let my contract expire. It's easy to assume things, So in order to stop rumors and rather than have false news shape your view of things, it's best you talk to counsel about any questions you may have. I will continue to hold counsel, the staff, the call committee, St. Matthew, you and your family in my prayers, and the next pastors. And like St. Paul told the Philippians, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Your prayers and kind words and that of my colleagues have lifted me and my family up in this sad times. As we have grown to love you, and we will miss you, and I pray the words that St. Paul offered the Thessalonians today in our readings, who were confused by rumors that the end times had come and had discouraged and were discouraged because they felt that they had missed the end times, or perhaps they were left behind by Jesus. I hope his words will encourage you. Like St. Matthew in its multiple earthquakes, the area and the time the second letter to the Thessalonians was written was wrought with earthquakes. The term translated in our NRSV version, shaken, basically means shaken like from a violent movement like an earthquake. The shaking can be used figuratively as found in Matthew 24:29, where the hosts of heaven will be deposed and all will be overturned, or more literally, as in the simile of Revelation 6:13, of figs falling from the tree when shaken by a strong wind. That year, 51 AD, when this letter is supposedly written to the Thessalonians, is described as an ominous year filled with earthquakes. While many of the texts today talk about death and resurrection to an afterlife, for which we give God thanks in our baptism and hold on to that promise and hope, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians talks about death and resurrection in the here and now. Through God's choosing the Thessalonians in baptism as the first fruits of salvation. Paul was writing to counter the word, letter, and false spirits that gave the fake news that Jesus had returned and they had perhaps missed it, or he had not brought them with him. And he offered them comfort, reminding them. But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Miriam Kamel, assistant professor of New Testament studies at Regent College in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, comments, Paul didn't avoid teaching about the end, for to him it was a source of encouragement. As he taught the Thessalonians, there is and there will be greater and greater opposition and persecution, but Christians do not need to live in fear. Much of the rhetoric in circles obsessed with end times prophecies is dominated by fear of what is going on now. And much of the rhetoric in circles that avoid discussing the end times is dominated by what we have to do by our own efforts. For Paul, in Jesus, all is grace. Christians can be confident, encouraged people, because we know that we are held as first fruits by God's choice, preserved through the Spirit in our baptism. In Paul's paradigm, there is neither room for pride in our efforts to improve the world, nor despair at the state of the world around us. For Paul, all of this talk about the end is to encourage us in our security in Christ and draw us ever further in the Spirit's sanctifying work. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 is brilliantly Trinitarian, a verse of encouragement to this end. And that, it seems to me, is Paul's greater emphasis. No matter how strong the opposition, we are secure in the Trinity, set free to live according to the Spirit's sanctifying work. In other words, God's choosing us as beloved and forgiven children of God through the grace of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, to which we were joined in baptism, gives us security that our salvation is secure in Christ. Thanks be to God. And though we fail God and our neighbor every day somehow, in spite of the rumors, God never fails us. God's love is perfect, and his grace is sufficient. It is undeserved and amazing. Though we have doubt, we have received the Holy Spirit in baptism to fill us with faith when we come to worship and live among God's faithful people, when we are sent from Holy Communion to go out and love and serve our neighbor through his grace, and having been sent, freed from sin and death, we are free to work for God's justice and peace in the world. Though we have earthquakes that disrupt our comfort, toss us around, and break us and our routines at times, we can feel comforted because we have the promise of Christ, Christ's abiding presence, who promised to be with us till the end of this age. We have his unfailing love and forgiveness. We see a glimpse of our salvation when we see the first fruits of the Spirit in the work God has called us to share Christ's love and grace with a hurting world. The mission here at St. Matthew, to share Christ's love and grace as witnesses through loving worship, serving, and outreach as the body of Christ who understands ourselves as both sinners and saints. We can rest secure that when everything is shaken, Christ is our secure and firm foundation and the giver of our new life and salvation. Thanks be to God. And so, like St. Paul offers the Thessalonians, may our Lord Jesus Christ, himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Amen.